They kept us in separate rooms, under strict guard, supposedly for medical treatment, and they questioned us every day. All these high-ranking officers would come and make us tell our stories over and over again. Their questions were meticulous and very clever. But they seemed to believe us. I told them every little detail of what I had experienced, being careful to omit anything I knew about the document. Once they got it all down, they warned me that this was a top-secret matter that would not appear in the Army's formal records, that I was never to mention it to anyone, and that I would be severely punished if I did. 2 weeks later, I was sent back to my original post, and I believe that Corporal Honda was also returned to his home unit.
"One thing is still not clear to me," I said. "Why did they go to the trouble of bringing Mr. Honda from his unit for this assignment?"
"He never said much to me about that. He had probably been forbidden to tell anyone, and I suspect that he thought it would be better for me not to know. Judging from my conversations with him, though, I imagine there was some kind of personal relationship between him and the man they called Yamamoto, something that had to do with his special powers. I had often heard that the Army had a unit devoted to the study of the occult. Allegedly, they gathered people with these spiritual or psychokinetic powers from all over the country and conducted experiments on them. I suspect that Mr. Honda met Yamamoto in that connection. In any case, without those powers of his, Mr. Honda would never have been able to find me in the well and guide me to the exact location of the Manchukuo Army outpost. He had neither map nor compass, yet he was able to direct us straight there without the slightest uncertainty. Common sense would have told you that such a thing was impossible. I was a professional mapmaker, and I knew the geography of that area quite well, but I could never have done what he did. These powers of Mr. Honda were probably what Yamamoto was looking to him for.
We reached the bus stop and waited.
Certain things will always remain riddles, of course,
said Lieutenant Mamiya.
There are many things I still don't understand. I still wonder who that lone Mongolian officer was who met us in the desert, and I wonder what would have happened if we had managed to bring that document back to headquarters. Why did Yamamoto not simply leave us on the right bank of the Kalka and cross over by himself? He would have been able to move far more freely that way. Perhaps he had been planning to use us as a decoy for the Mongolian troops so that he could escape alone. It is conceivable. Perhaps Corporal Honda realized this from the start, and that was why he merely stood by while the Mongolians killed him. In any case, it was a very long time after that before Corporal Honda and I had an opportunity to meet again. We were separated from the moment we arrived in Hailar and were forbidden to speak or even to see each other. I had wanted to thank him one last time, but they made that impossible. He was wounded in the battle for Nomonhan and sent home, while I remained in Manchuria until the end of the war, after which I was sent to Siberia. I was only able to find him several years later, after I was repatriated from my Siberian internment. We did manage to meet a few times after that, and we corresponded. But he seemed to avoid talking about what had happened to us at the Kalka River, and I myself was not too eager to discuss it. For both of us, it had simply been too enormous an experience. We shared it by not talking about it. Does this make any sense? This has turned into a very long story, but what I wanted to convey to you was my feeling that real life may have ended for me deep in that well in the